I think in terms of where tungsten comes from today, none of it is mined in North America. None. 0%.
Wow.
So there is tungsten in North America, but 0% is produced in North America. And the fact that American tungsten could come online in 12 to 18 months means we would be the first producer to fill that gap.
Hi, we got Ali Haji here with American Tungsten CEO. How are you, my friend?
Doing very well, Steve. It's a pleasure to see you.
Well, Ali, sounds like you got some news going on if you want to kind of bring us up to speed a little bit. But before we do that, I would love for us to see what's going on with American Tungsten. If you can tell us about the project, Diamond Mines, and anything else that, especially for those who are just following, needs to know about who you guys are and what you guys do.
Sure. The Ima mine in Idaho is a past producer. It's in Lemhi County in the Patterson Valley. At least about 700,000 tons of tungsten metal. That was Bradley Mining Company. It had some work done by Inspiration, which was Anglo-American. Gentor spent a fair bit of time on it until about 2010. And so it is an asset that is above the water table, a massive differentiator relative to other underground mines that are tungsten-based in North America. Beyond that, the infrastructure is fantastic. We're a couple of miles from paved roads. We've got high voltage power. We are on private patented land, so we own the surface rights and the mineral rights below that. We have no discharge from any of our adits. The mineralization is visible in the adits, and as a result, we think it's a mine that can come to production quite quickly without the need for federal permitting. We've seen a lot of discovery in terms of, or potential for discovery on the site. We had an opportunity to visit the site about 4 weeks ago. Mineralization is highly visible, and the infrastructure being in fantastic shape would ultimately allow us to convert IMA to production, serving about 8% of U.S. demand.
8% of the U.S. demand, American tungsten. Now, before I connected with you, I didn't really know much about American tungsten. For those people who don't know, if you can tell us a bit more about what tungsten is and why it's so significant.
Yeah, I mean, for our listeners that have, you know, a bunch of gray hair, much like myself, you would remember that we had incandescent light bulbs, right? Those things that would go out and you'd have to change them. The metal inside it was tungsten. Why tungsten? Because it has a 2,500 degree centigrade melting point. It is the second hardest mineral on the periodic table after diamond. So it's extremely strong, melts at a very high temperature. Its uses historically were in incandescent light bulbs as well as military applications. Today, military is the largest application by far because of its strength, its position in the MOS scale. It's used for armor-piercing ammunition. It's used for shell casings. It's used for essentially the bodies that would be part of a space shuttle or a missile. It's also used in commercial aviation, where you couldn't have a turbine unless it was made out of tungsten. So with the current state of the world, as unfortunate or it may be, maintaining military dominance is rather important. Its uses in nuclear power are also quite paramount, given its high melting point. You cannot build a nuclear power plant without it. You cannot build a wind turbine without it. The biggest challenge that the United States faces today is the fact that China has now restricted exports of tungsten and other rare earths. Much like every other critical metal on the planet, China has a monopoly on it. And it's imperative that we start to bring domestic production online in order to maintain military dominance, but also to ensure that we're advancing the various advanced technology industries that we may have, including semiconductors, microchips, and otherwise. So tungsten is a critical metal, as described or defined by the Department of Defense since 1979.
So there's been a push, my understanding, especially with the political, with NATO and China and the movement to make it not so dependent on China. So where do you see tungsten going in terms of, America is not the only one that has identified tungsten as a critical metal, is my understanding. If you can tell us
right.
A bit more about kind of why is it being valued and where do you see tungsten going from here?
Well, tungsten is trading at 14-year highs as a result of the restrictions in place that China has put in place. As far as production today, you know, it comes from South Korea, a bit from Indonesia, Vietnam. Portugal has identified some assets. The North American continent produced tungsten till about 2015, at which point China flooded the market with cheap tungsten, and the likes of Canton, Mactung, Fostung, and various other mines across North America went belly up. They couldn't compete with the Chinese pricing scheme. And so they were mothballed. The vast majority that were mothballed have environmental issues in order to bring them online. IMA, we do not have those issues. We are above the water table, as I stated. And so I see tungsten continuing to rise in terms of pricing. In terms of demand, I think it's imperative that we bring local supply online. You touched on NATO, and I think that's an important topic to discuss. With NATO now committing 5% of their GDP to defense, it's important that they have sufficient access to tungsten. With the United States, there is no producer for tungsten today, nor is there in Canada. And so us or IBA and American Tungsten bringing the IMA line back online, the goal here is really to be the first producer to start to bring tungsten back online for domestic consumption. And we have all the right ingredients, including the infrastructure, the team, relationships with mills, a very low capex, as well as various government agency relationships that we look to leverage in order to obtain the very low capex that is anticipated to bring a 500 ton per day production profile online, thereby serving, as I said, 8% of the U.S. demand.
So it's my understanding that the IMA mine used to be one of the largest tungsten producers in North America. And that's kind of recently, it's kind of been kind of put on hold. Is that right?
Correct. So it was the fourth largest producer of tungsten in North America up until about 1956. After that, there's been a fair bit of exploration drilling done by various groups, Inspiration being one of them. That's Anglo-American, and then Gentor as well. The differentiator on IMA is, you know, it's a molybdenum porphyry, and we have tungsten veins that are rich in silver running through it. So we have a silver credit, about 2 ounces per ton. We've got moly credits as well at 0.15 is the percentage there, or the grade. Those are credits that we have not factored into our valuation with respect to, you know, where we trade today. In terms of the modeling that we've done internally, we're using a price of tungsten about $310. Currently, it's trading about $452 for tungsten. So we're vastly discounted in that regard. And that's done for various reasons. But I think when we do start to do more work around our PEA and we announce that to market, it'll become very apparent that, you know, a 500-ton production profile would cover the capex necessary to bring that online very quickly.
Can you tell us about, I think you had some news going on Monday. Can you tell us what happened?
Yeah, so we put out a press release with respect to a capital raise. So we're raising about $2.5 million, not a large amount. And I think that's for two reasons. One, it reduces dilution, but it also allows us the opportunity to do some validation drilling. There were 57,000 feet drilled historically by the prior operators. We've got a resource that's 43-101 compliant. It's about 350,000 tons at 0.63. 0.63 is amongst the highest grade in the world. And we've got access to it. You know, the ore body is visible when you're in the adits. So with a very high grade today, and recognizing the 57,000 feet have been drilled historically, the goal of this validation drilling is to update the resource estimate in the fall of this year, provide the market with a larger resource estimate, which ultimately extends the life of mine and shows the ultimate upside, including NPV and the ability for us to keep this online longer and generate revenue and profit, more importantly, for a longer period of time.
So could you tell us a little bit more about just the milestones you guys got going on? What major milestones are you targeting for the next 6-12 months and looking ahead? Can you share your interim goals, your timelines, what investors can be looking out for?
Of course. In terms of what we announced on Monday, that capital raise pays for our drilling program, as well as some rehabilitation work on the adits. I had the opportunity to walk through the D-level adits, and it's in fantastic shape, but we've got to do a bit of rehab in terms of the portals and the mesh in order to hold back the scree. That will then allow us to put some drills in the ground, do some fan drilling to do that validation drilling to prove the resource, as well as pull out the bulk samples. So we have some agreements with two mills, one in Idaho, one in Montana. We'll be pulling a 100-ton bulk sample, providing it to them to fire up the mill, begin looking at the flow sheets and the metallurgy, thereby determining the recoveries. We're also in discussions with one of the largest APTs in the United States to be an offtake partner for our product. There is no shortage of demand, but you do need to ensure that you are refining it to 99.9%. Beyond that, we will have some conversations with government agencies. So we submitted our white paper to the DOD. We are in conversations with EXIM. We've submitted our application for letter of interest. There are plans to be in DC later in July to meet with the Department of Energy, DLA, as well as DARPA-E. And that will then unlock some non-dilutive capital for the CapEx required for our production plans. We've met with Senator Rich's office, Congressman Simpson's office, to discuss permitting. Given it is a private patented asset on private patented land, the permitting process is very streamlined. It is a state-level permitting process. We do not require federal permits. Beyond that, we will start to announce our internal PEA and NPEA estimates. And then we will be looking to uplist on the United States, one of the United States exchanges, the NYSE Amex or the NASDAQ. We have 6,000 U.S. shareholders in the company already, which I think is a fantastic number given a company of our size. And that really gives us a good footing to get up onto one of these main board listings in the United States.
So do you have a timeline on when you might be on the NASDAQ?
Yeah, so let's take a step back. Once we close this financing that we recently announced, we will start the rehab work. That'll take about 3 to 5 weeks. We will then do some drilling, which will take about 5 weeks. The assay result and the resource estimate comes out in the fall. Q4 is when we plan to sort of kick off the process of the uplist. And the intent is, of course, to get uplisted in either early Q1 or, sorry, I beg your pardon, early Q1 at the earliest and sort of early Q2 at the latest with respect to an uplist on either of those exchanges that I've mentioned. The intent all the while as we start to execute is to obtain that non-dilutive funding as well as a letter of interest from a debt perspective from EXIM.
So you got access to non-diluted capital.
That's correct.
And if what are your plans to do with the money and what do you plan to do with the stocks and shares?
So in terms of the initial capital raise that we have now announced, that is purely going into the ground. So we are going to be doing some drilling, we will do some rehab work, and we will start to do the metallurgy and PEA studies to ensure that this is a viable economic decision. Based on our internal study, we believe very strongly that it is in fact a very viable, economically viable project. The non-dilutive capital will be used towards rehabilitating the adits, the manways, essentially ensuring that we have conveyors in place so that when we are mining, we're not having to drive our trucks up about 500 feet or 700 feet from the 360 level up to the D-level adit. We can use conveyors to bring that ore body down as it's crushed, as it's blasted, and then put it on the back of trucks. The rail system is only about 20 miles away from our project. Once we're at 500 tons per day, it can go on the rail system, ship out about 180 miles to the mill that we're in the midst of contracting. They will then process and concentrate to 90% recovery. At that point, it goes to GTP or one of the potential APT partners in the United States for ultimate refinement.
Well, Ali, we met in Atlanta and I enjoyed getting to meet you. And I know that a lot of the people were really excited about American Tungsten. I know that Andy and his group and several of us have bought into American Tungsten, and I'm excited about just the movement of how tungsten is a critical metal identified by the U.S. and NATO countries to be less dependent on China and to move in that direction for military dominance. You need it for everything. So even in the valuation of tungsten itself, it seemed undervalued. Now, in terms of adding on to that, the silver and the moly upside, that's just not only the cherry on top of it, it makes it that much more exciting. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what Molly is used for and what kind of upside are we talking about here?
Well, Molly is a critical metal. It's used in various applications, including alloys. You know, my familiarity with Molly is a result of my having looked at rare earths for the last sort of year and a half. The Molly credits, based on what we're seeing, is only about $18. So it's not a major kicker as far as we're concerned. The bigger kicker is the silver credit. That equates to anywhere between $70 and $77 per ton. Our in-situ value that we're using today is about 410, with a massive discount to the tungsten price. So those tickers will come on board as the flow sheet is developed. But again, let's not forget that the price of tungsten today is $452, and we're using $310. So the valuation of the tungsten is massively discounted. And I think that will really start to pay dividends as the price continues to grow. It's at 14-year highs. The trade wars that are being sort of discussed in the news today, and I think they'll come to resolution July 9th, and they may pivot again, as had been the record of the current administration. These restrictions for tungsten exports have been in place well before these tariff wars, and there's no sign of them going away July 9th or otherwise. And so as a result, we think tungsten will continue to rise. Demand will certainly rise with all of the unfortunate conflicts that we're seeing around the world, and ensuring military dominance in that regard. With respect to, you know, I just would like to touch on something, Steve, the non-diluted capital piece that we spoke about.
Yeah.
The team that I've assembled thus far, and I will sort of add to as we move along, includes an individual named Dan Nicholas, and he is a senior advisor to EY, who is also a consultancy. So consider it a senior consultant to a consultancy. He used to run the Department of Energy's Loan Program Office, where he was responsible for granting government money, essentially, to critical projects in the energy space, where he handed out about $40 billion during his tenure. He has relationships within the government agency that we're looking to obtain a non-dilutive capital from. He's based out of New York, spends a fair bit of time in Washington, and he will be the sort of voice and conduit to, in order for us to unlock that capital. He was a banker at Morgan Stanley and Solomon Brothers, so a really strong addition to the team. Beyond him, we added Jim Whitaker, who is the chief operating officer of Capstone Copper, about a $6.5 billion copper producer today. He's only allowed one board seat, and he opted to join me, so I'm honored and humbled that he decided to come along this journey with me. But he was the president of Escondida, which is one of the largest copper mines in the world, had experience at BHP and Barrick as well. And with this sort of pedigree that we're building here today, alongside our very strong technical team, you know, IMA could win, come online very quickly. But beyond that, I think that there's a lot of upside in terms of exploration. So if folks have the time, visit my website and take a look at the land packages that we own. The northern side of the valley was explored a fair bit. The southern side, not so much, but we've looked at the southern side on surface, and there is mineralization on surface. So the ability to grow this resource into, you know, a 20, maybe 30 year life of mine is quite possible. And as a result, we might be able to fulfill a larger proponent of the U.S. demand. And being the fastest, of course, to bring that online in a time where we have tumultuous, to say the least, trade relationships with the current producer is really where the value add comes into play.
So the first time we talked, you were rounding out your team. And then the next time we talked in the Atlanta conference, you filled out your team. It seemed like you built your A team, is what I called it. Would you say that's about right? Are you done filling out your team, or is there more additions to be made? Can you tell us about a little bit also about other people that might be on your team that, you know, help build credibility for your company? Because I was really impressed. And if you can kind of share a little bit more about that.
Appreciate it. Yeah. So we built out the team, and that's coming along quite well in terms of the board and governance. As far as our technical team is concerned, Austin Zinser, who's our VP Exploration based out of Boise. So he's local to the province or the state that we're operating in. He is about 3 hours from site. He was at Perpetua, which is about $1.5 billion company. But when he saw the value at IMA, he was happy to come on board. And that tells you, you know, when somebody has a secure job at a multi-billion dollar company and they opt to join a junior trading at today, I think $15 million market cap, there's a bit of incentive there with respect to perhaps the upside. Right. So Austin's a fantastic exploration geologist. He's done a lot of work for us so far that I'm highly impressed by. And as a board member sitting in Boise, in Idaho, discussing our project with the congressman's office and the senator's office, we've got a strong footing to execute. The other individuals on our team are five technical advisors, each of which, you know, Finley Baker, Dave Sabarin, these individuals have worked at various tungsten mines in North America. It's seldom that you see a junior mining company with a technical advisory team that is very specific to the mineral that you're looking to exploit. The vast majority of juniors will have advisors that are, you know, somewhat generalists. But the technical team that we've assembled is bar none excellent. And as a result of that, we are very keen to execute on our production plan in the next 12 to 18 months.
You mentioned American tungsten was, you said 8% of provider for US?
That's correct. It will be when we're in production.
Okay. And so are there other American, are there other tungsten companies that are being a major provider to the US defense? And where does American tungsten stand in comparison?
It's a great question. I think in terms of where tungsten comes from today, none of it is mined in North America. None. 0%.
Wow.
So there is tungsten in North America, but 0% is produced in North America. The fact that American tungsten could come online in 12 to 18 months means we would be the first producer to fill that gap. The balance of the organizations that we're discussing here have, you know, 3 years of exploration or 5 years of permitting and development. It'll be at least 5 to 7 years, and I'm being very, very generous with the 5 to 7 years. It'll be at least 5 to 7 years until any one of those mines is able to come online to serve this demand. So being first movers, setting essentially what we could consider the local supply chain, local baseline, and ultimately with an offtake partnership with one of those two APTs, we would then have the ability to set the floor or set the pricing for the North American market that everybody else would have to follow.
Talk about being the early bird, the pace setter, the forerunner. So you're pretty much getting yourselves not only a half a decade to a decade head start, you're talking about setting the market and finding that out.
Precisely. And, you know, doing 500 tons per day is not a large operation by any means in the mining world. However, that 8% number is relevant. If we were to scale up with a bit more CapEx and if we're able to prove out the resource, which the expectation is that we will, to increase the resource over the course of the next couple of months here through the drilling and updated resource statement that we plan to put out in the fall, the ability to go to 1,000 tons per day is within reach at very low CapEx. The numbers that you look at for the vast majority of the mining projects in North America, you're talking CapEx of 250 to 400 million. In my view, that's 400 million ways to fail, right? We've got a CapEx of about, call it 30 million to 40 million to bring us to 1,000 tons per day, serving 16% of the US demand, given it is a past producer. The mineralization is visible and evident. We have a mining plan that is being developed by our engineers, and that would be put in execution as soon as we're ready to do so.
Ali, if there's any questions that our followers have for you, what's a good way for them to reach you? And if you can tell us about your ticker and your website.
Of course, AmericanTungsten.com is our website. You can reach me at ahaji@americantungstencorp.com. My cell phone is on every press release. I'm one of those rare individuals that will answer a phone call no matter who's calling me, much to the behest of my wife. But get in touch. We trade under ticker TUNG on the CSE, DEMRF on the OTCQB. We're also over in Frankfurt, but you will find all the information you need on our website. And as I said, feel free to get in touch directly. I'm happy to speak to prospective, current, and future investors.
Well, Ali, great to have you again. And we'll continue to follow your story. Looking forward to the next release.
Thank you, Steve. It's been a pleasure.